Hallelujah. Let me read you this testimony that came in. This came in on April the 21st. It says, last month I was in Michigan helping my parents for a few weeks, and I started getting sick with the pain. I didn't recognize what it could be. And so the next day, the pain was still there, and I was getting ready to do something I needed to do. And I just stopped what I was doing, and I said, come on, sometimes we got something to say. She said, I don't know what this is, but I don't care. I don't receive you. I'm a child of God, and this isn't happening. You got to go right now in Jesus' name. And she said, so I started getting ready again, and about 5 minutes later, I passed a kidney stone. I passed a kidney stone without any pain. Then she testifies, last year in February, I landed in the hospital for 3 days with a kidney stone, sepsis, and a surgery. She said the bill was over $200,000. She said, but this time my new insurance hadn't even kicked in yet. So God not only physically healed me, but he saved me from a possible $200,000 medical bill. God is just so good. She said, I was astonished for days, just over and over again. Wow. Hallelujah. Come on, that's the God we serve. Wow. Come on, that God does astonishing things for us. That God does miraculous things for us. To pass a kidney stone without any pain, glory to God. God is well able. This came in from Lisa Morosco. Is Lisa here today? Is Lisa, she's not here today, but is it your wife? Awesome. Well, praise. Let's just praise God. Come on, let's thank God for healing. Lisa, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. If God did it for her, he can do it for us. Praise the Lord. Everybody turn with me in your Bible. I want to read this scripture to you. Are you ready? John chapter 3. Get your Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. You might not have heard of this scripture before, or you might have heard of it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me, for God so loved you, that he gave his Son Jesus, that he sent Jesus out of heaven into the earth, that we could be saved, saved out of our sin, saved out of sickness, saved out of poverty, saved out of darkness, saved out of trouble, and have eternal life with God. A life with God. We get a life through Jesus Christ because God loves us. We get a life with him. And this is eternal. One day we'll be with God where we can see God physically for eternity. But right now, we're still living an eternal life. We have life with God. We can know God. We can hear God. We can walk with God. We can commune with God. We can sense God's presence. Amen. This is a wonderful thing. God gave us benefits. He gave us salvation. And that word salvation is not just only the one time that we acknowledge Jesus and have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that word salvation, soteria, it means sozo. It means to be saved. It means to be healed. It means to be delivered. It means to have peace. It means everything. God gave us a salvation package. He gave us a benefit package. Come on, listen. When we got saved, we got something from God, a benefit package. How many of you have ever been at a job and you want to know what's the benefit package? Come on, with this job, what am I getting? That's how much God loves us. He gave us a benefits package. Actually, Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. God, the benefits of God, they're just all, I just can't. The goodness of God is on me. The blessings are overtaking me. It's just, he's just loaded us down. What a life with God. Psalm 103, remember this? That we're to not forget all his benefits. We're not to forget all of his benefits, not just some of his benefits, all of his benefits. Who has forgiven all of our iniquities? Every sin, every failure, every shortcoming, past, present, and future. God, through Jesus, has forgiven us. He's wiped it clean. We stand before him upright, holy, powerful, a child of God. No guilt, no shame. No condemnation. Come on, that makes you want to just stand up, throw your shoulders back, and say, hey, I may have been a nobody, but now I am a somebody, a child of God, and I've got benefits. I've got the favor of God. I've got the life of God. I've got the goodness of God. I've got the peace of God and the joy of God. I've got the mercy of God. I've got the love of God. Hallelujah. But for God so loved, he so loved us. His love is toward us. The love of God is toward us to save us, to heal us, to deliver us, to redeem us, to restore us, to bless us. The love of God is toward us. The love of God searches us out. The love of God. I'm talking about the love of God. This is like a love that's indescribable. This is like a love that's uncomprehensible. This is a love that's never ending. This is not a natural love. This is a supernatural love of a God, a Father to his children. His love searches us out, reaches out to us to help us. One time I was in another nation, and I was there for a couple of weeks. I was in one particular church for a week. On the midweek service, boy, the power of God is like, whatever you need today. Whatever you need today, God is here. The love of God right now is searching you out, reaching out to you to help you today. We were in the midweek service. We were going to have a healing service because the pastor had told the church on Sunday that we would have a healing service on the midweek service. And so I got to the service that night, you know, oh my gosh, did God show up? Come on, when the people of God gather together, come on, when the people of God set their hearts towards something, God is just looking. He's looking for those that will believe. He's looking for those that will desire. Come on, he's looking for radical people. And we had a healing meeting. I mean, God showed up. We had blind eyes opened. We had deaf ears opened. We had an angel show up touching people. One lady had a herniated disc in her back, totally healed. I mean, just God in the midst of his people, the glory of God, the power of God. We had a lady that had been sent home to die of cancer that was raised up. And she wasn't even in the meeting. She was raised up because her son loved her enough and had such a compassion toward his mama that he brought a picture of her up on his phone. And when I went back the next year, the testimony was that she got well. Like 2-3 days later, she was up out of the bed, totally well, no cancer, and totally still living. Had been sent home to die. God, 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 the one who astonishes us, the one who amazes us. The one who loves us. But after the meeting, I had this man come up, and he wanted to testify. Now, he had not come up in any of the healing lines or anything that we'd done. I don't remember having seen him or dealt with him in any way at all. He had sat in the very back, but this was his testimony. He said that he had been praying for a long time for God to send someone to help him get healed. He said he was not aware of the healing meeting we were having that night. He was not a member of that church. He had never been to that church. That church was not in a church building. But he said that night he had been praying to God. He'd been praying for a long time. He needed help. God, send me somebody. Help me get healed. And he said as he was sitting in his house that night, the Lord told him to go get in the car. He didn't say where he was going, what was happening. He just told him to get in the car. He got in the car, started the car. The Lord told him where to drive, actually directed him. He would tell him to go down the road, and then he would say, turn right, turn left, stop here, do this. And all of a sudden, he pulled up in front of this building where we were having a healing meeting inside. And he came in the building, in the meeting, went to the very back row. It was a packed house that night. Went to the very back row, and in the middle of the healing meeting, while all the stuff was going on with God, right in his seat, right in his chair, he was healed of 7 ailments in his body. Come on, that's the God I serve. More than enough. Come on, not just a little bit, come on, more than enough. Anything we need, everything we need. And he just wanted to testify and thank me that I had come from America to his nation. You know what that story tells me? It tells me that the love of God was reaching out to him. I mean, that the love of God would orchestrate an entire way for me to get over to another country. That the love of God would orchestrate the pastor standing up on a Sunday just off the cuff and saying, we're having a healing meeting on Wednesday night. That the love of God would orchestrate that for this man. The love of God will search you out. The love of God is reaching out to you to heal you, to deliver you, to help you, to bless you, to restore you. The love of God. He'll do the same for you, absolutely. God is always endeavoring to help you, to answer your prayers if you're believing for something. If you're really needing something, if you're really expecting that God would hear and answer, God's always trying to get you to the right place. He's trying to get you to the church service. I remember a story of church members here. They had a small child. I think at the time he was 3 years old. And on Saturday night, he got sick. He got a fever. He had diarrhea. And so, you know, they were praying for him and trying to give him some medication. And they were thinking, well, tomorrow we'll take him to the clinic if he's not well. They got up on Sunday. His fever was like 102. She said, I prayed again, went down a little, but not a lot. By this time, she said, my son was lethargic. He wouldn't eat. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to miss church. So she came to church with her husband with a sick baby. And we were receiving communion that day. And she said that in communion, she felt to have her son, who was 3, partake of the communion table from her faith. And so she and her husband put the bread, representing the bread of life, in her child's mouth. He spit it out. She put it back in. He swallowed it. He didn't want to take the cup. He didn't want to drink any of the juice. So they were putting it on their fingers and wiping it on his mouth all the whole time, thanking God for the blood of Jesus that covers every sin, that heals every disease. And she said before church was even over, actually it was picnic day. She said before church was even over, no need to go to a doctor or a medical clinic. Her son was completely well, all fever gone. He went outside, played, ate all of his food at the picnic. The love of God reaching out to you, trying to get you in the right place at the right time with the right people, hearing the right message, extending your hand towards somebody. You never know when the person next to you is going to have the word of the Lord for you, or a handshake or a hug that's going to help you. love of God is constantly reaching out to us, trying to tell us what scriptures to read today. Could you stop and pray a little today? Maybe you need to listen to this message again today. Because God's not withholding any good thing from those that walk uprightly before Him. This is the love of God. Today, the love of God is here searching you out, reaching out to you with whatever you need, and you can get it at any moment. You don't have to be in the front row. You can be on the back row. You don't have to have hands laid. You can just receive it right there. One time I was in a nation and we were going to have a meeting, and I knew that night when I went that we were probably going to do something in the area of healing, and so I had a translator with me, and she works with me all the time when I'm in that particular nation, a great translator. And I've learned, you know, with translators that, like, in the middle of the ministry, even when, like, the Spirit gets moving, like, don't touch them. Because, you know, I've had them, like, go out under the power of God before. They fall out on the floor, they're out, and then I'm, like, without a translator, you know. And I'm kind of just looking at the people like, well, you know, oh, well, hello, you know. Let's everybody look to heaven, you know. So I don't do that anymore. But I'm also well aware that the love of God is still reaching out to my translator. And if there's something in that meeting that they need, God wants them to have it. And just because they're translating doesn't mean that they can't get it. But sometimes, listen, there's a moment when you have to respond. There's a moment. You can't go back and get something later if there's a moment that you're supposed to capture it with your faith, with your belief. You got to get it when the getting is good. And so, you know, at the moment, I wasn't like feeling like super spiritual, but as we were walking out the door, I said to her, now you remember tonight, as I'm ministering, when the presence of God there and the powers of God's there, whatever you need, if you need something, I had no idea if she needed anything. But I said, if you need something, you just get it. And that was it. We had a, you know, praise God. God always shows up. I can say that on the record and absolutely mean it. God always shows up. Well, the next morning we had stuff, God's stuff. So the next morning I actually stay at the translator's home. And the next morning I got up, you know, and I'm coming out of my room hoping that no one's in there. And she's sitting at the kitchen table. Because she knows I have, like, this special cereal they buy me. It's, like, really good. So I walk in. She's sitting at the table. Let me tell you what happened. Hey, that's a way to get woken up, right? Right? She said, let me tell you what happened last night. So she had a lump in her breast. And nobody but her husband had known about it. I didn't know. Nobody else knew. It had been there for several months. And she was really very concerned about it. You know, trying to fight off the thoughts that maybe it was, you know, something like a big deal. And she said after the meeting, now in the middle of the meeting, you know, she was just translating, but she's in it with me. She said she got home that night and she went and she laid down. She was in the bed laying down. And all of a sudden the Lord said to her, check your breast. And the lump was totally gone. Just standing in the anointing, come on, just standing in the power, just sitting right here in the power. God can do the work. Absolutely, God can do the work. The Bible says this, turn with me over in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm giving y'all some really profound scriptures today. These scriptures that we hear over and over and over again, we can't discount those. We can't say, oh, I know that. No. There's life in the fact that for God so loved the world. Yes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Savior is the same yesterday. Yesterday would be anything beyond right this moment. So he's the same as he was in the Bible. He's the same every verse that's talked about him, everything that we see in the Gospels. He's the same then as he is right now. Look at your neighbor and say, right now. He's the same right now. And forever. So I don't have to wake up tomorrow thinking, I wonder if God's good. I wonder if God's trying to bring me sickness. No, Jesus came that we would have life and life more abundantly, more. He wants us to have more abundant life. If you just latch hold of that one thing right now, that'd change your life today and tomorrow. He wants us to have more abundant life. But Jesus Christ, so Jesus is the same yesterday. Christ, the anointed one. Christ, the one on whom power was put. Christ, the healer. Christ, the deliverer. He's the same today. Today, right here in this place. Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, you might be sitting there and think, she just said that. Why is she saying it again? Because there's life in it. There's power in it. Come on, when I say it, things are activated. Maybe you need to say it. Maybe you need to say it not just once, but maybe you need to say it again and again and again until you feel something. All your old crusty self begins to fall off and all your problems get really dim and you begin to see the brightness of Jesus and the glory of God. Come on, you begin to get stirred up and really believe Jesus is the same today, right here in my house, in church, in the car. Well, what does that do? First of all, that he's the same anchors me. It makes me stable in life. In the midst of a crazy world, up and down, things constantly changing, the insecurity of governments, economies, the instability of my unredeemed body. Not knowing any day what it might want to get up and not like or feel or, I'm anchored. I'm stable, secure in the fact that Jesus is the same today. He's always been God. He is God. He's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to make my life stable. I'm not riding up and down all on a roller coaster. I'm just staying with Jesus. So the word tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I find that we can rejoice and believe greatly in the Jesus of yesterday. Everything that's already recorded. And we're pretty good about believing the scriptures that are out there, our hope of what is to come. It's easier for people to say, I believe God is going to heal me because it's in the future. Amen. Then to say right now, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Because it puts a responsibility upon ourselves to believe in the moment. But Jesus is the same. I thoroughly believe that. Come on, wasn't Pastor talking about us believing that the scripture is literal? So if Jesus, now remember, Jesus came as the express image of God the Father. So all those scriptures that we see about God loading us down with benefits, about God forgiving all of our iniquities, how he's healing all of our diseases, how he's redeeming our life from destruction, that's the nature of God, the character of God. So Jesus came in that same way, same nature, same character, and he's still that today. He's still forgiving me every day today. He's still healing me all the time today of all my diseases, of all sickness, of all pain today. If Jesus himself is the same, guess what else is the same? His purpose. Right? If his nature and his character stayed the same, then his purpose that we see in the Bible is still his purpose today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Turn with me in your Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We got to have the works of the devil restored so that we can stand in the loaded down benefits and blessings of God. Amen. Jesus' purpose is that he would destroy the works of the devil. He would destroy the works of evil. He would destroy the works of sin. He would destroy the works of sickness. He would destroy the works of disease. He would destroy the works of bondage. He would destroy the works of torment. Jesus said he'd destroy it. Not have you live with it, cope with it, and manage it.
Good word.
Jesus came to destroy it, get rid of it, put it at naught, make it non-existent in the life of a believer. That was his purpose. And by the way, just a little side note, is he did do his job. He did hang on that cross and say, "It is finished. It is done. All of it's done. Every work of the devil destroyed." So if Jesus himself is the same today as he was yesterday and as he's going to be in the future, and his purpose is the same today as it was in the Bible and is still in the future, guess what else is the same? His work. What he did back then in the Bible days is still what he's doing today. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So first of all, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now we're saved and we're in Christ. We're Christians, like Pastor talked about Wednesday night. We're Christians. That word actually means little Christ. That means we have the same anointing that God, who has anointed Jesus, who has put something supernatural, this essence of God, this ability of God upon him, is now upon me and you. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, so we have the same spirit. I don't have a lesser spirit. You don't have just a small measure of the Spirit. We have the fullness of the Holy Ghost in us and upon us to help us, to comfort us, to be with us, to guide us, lead us, teach us, help us pray, help us get the answer, help us bring God on the scene, help us believe the Word, apply the Word. We have the same Holy Spirit and the same power. But look what Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I love that he was healing all, but I want to back up for a minute. He just went about doing good. That That is like all encompassing. That Jesus just went about doing good. Hey, what can I do good for you today? Yes, right. Hey, Jesus is here. Jesus just wants to do something good for you today. Amen. Whatever you might need, whatever you might think is good, Jesus wants to just do something good. That's why he came, to do something good for you. Amen. To give you abundant life, to give you eternal life, to heal you, deliver you, bless you, restore you, help you. Jesus just went about doing good. And that's why I say, as Christians, we should be good doers. That's who we are. When people see you, they're always like, man, just doing something good. They're always doing something good. Because that's God within us and God upon us. But he did go about doing good and healing all. So any sickness, any pain, any malfunction, we know is outside the realm of God. We know that in God there's no sickness, there's no disease, it's only perfect health in God. So we know that anything that's outside of that realm of God means it comes from the other realm. But Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Or we could just say Jesus went about healing all who had pain or a sickness or a disease or a malfunction or a bad report or levels in your body that weren't right. Jesus went about healing all. Amen. Now I'm going to challenge you. Are you ready? Yes. Pick up your toes so that you don't feel like your toes got stepped on. Are you going to elevate yourself above being the all? Is your life something bigger? Do you find yourself outside this category? Jesus is the same.
Amen.
He's the same today. Right now, here today, he can heal all. For everybody who believes, he can heal all. Oh, yeah, but I got a family history. Oh, you know what? No, you have a greater family history in the blood of Christ. You're not any longer bound by your natural family history. Their bloodline, come on, their sicknesses, their temptation. You've been redeemed. Come on, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from all that. Come on, we need to step up into a higher place. But Jesus is the same who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Then Matthew 4, 23 and 24 says that Jesus went about teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the love of God, reaching out, constantly teaching and preaching, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. All kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. You know what I have found about God? You know what I have found about Jesus being the same? Is that he'll be the same for you in a sore throat. See, for some reason, we start discounting ourselves outside the scripture. Oh, I don't want to bother Jesus with just my little sore throat. I'm sure that there's people, you know, that have bigger things. Yeah, but Jesus already died for your sore throat. Jesus already had a stripe laid upon him for your sore throat.
Amen.
Don't sell yourself short of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Come on, don't sell yourself short of the stripes of Jesus. Yes. I was in a meeting one time and we were having it was a conference. I think it was a church anniversary. And so we were having several days worth of meetings. And I think we were on about day 3 and the worship team got up and you know, they got to the microphone and somehow they just very casually made this little statement that, well, you know, we're pressing through. You know, a bunch of the worship team woke up. We've been sick since last night. You know, we got sore throats. We're not feeling good, but we're pressing through. And I know that their testimony, thank God, was that they were pressing through. Thank God they had showed up. But listen, the love of God was reaching out. The love of God was reaching out. And I was sitting there in my chair and I was thinking, well, okay, you know, Okay, they're testifying. That's all right. That's all right. But the minute I took the stage, I felt that thing in my heart like, that ain't right. That ain't right that anybody on the worship team got to have anything. They're here serving God, loving God, doing the work of God. It ain't right. It ain't right. And when it ain't right, I don't like it. And you need to get the same attitude. When it ain't right, when something is outside the kingdom of God, the will of God, the plan of God, the truth of God, and I ain't settling with it. And I got up on the stage and I didn't know what the Lord was going to do, but I knew he was going to do something. And all of a sudden, I just started singing by the Spirit. I started singing. And prophetically, then I started singing about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. I was just singing something. I don't remember what this brand new song of the Spirit about the blood of Jesus, the blood. And as I was singing, oh boy, the anointing and the power, whoa. And all of a sudden I looked over at the worship team. I said, now whoever had sore throat, step forward. And they stepped forward and all of a sudden they're like, and they're all down. Every one of them got off the floor completely well. Glory! Because Jesus heals all kinds of sicknesses. He's in the little ailments and the big ailments. He's in the minor ailments and he'll be in the big ailments. If you don't sell yourself short. He's still the same. Is this helping you? I'm thankful that we got to see who Jesus was. I'm thankful that when he was in the earth, there were people that were there that showed up at his meetings, that were listening to him, recording his words. Come on, the love of God reaching out to you, God trying to say something to you. When you send something to God, write it down. Don't just say, oh, that's nice. No, 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 that's a word from God. You can bank your life on that. In the Gospels, we see all kinds of stories that they recorded of Jesus, of who Jesus was, of what Jesus did. Remember, we're talking about him being the same. His nature, his character, the same. His purpose, the same. The works of him, the same today. I'm thankful that they took time to testify and to record and to get down on paper so that we can read it and believe it and read it and believe it. It never gets old. Amen. It never gets old. But I want to say it, that was Jesus of yesterday. And he wants us to read it and believe it so that we can see it today. It's not just good enough to believe Jesus of yesterday in the Gospels or even Jesus in the book of Acts. That after Jesus departed, they did get filled with the Holy Spirit and continued in the same works as the works of Jesus. Praise God for that. I love the book of Acts. I was just rereading it this week. I love it. But when I read it, I'm thinking, he's the same. He's the same right here today. He's the same in the office. He's the same between me and all of my friends. He's the same between me and all of the church. He's the same today. And he wants us to know the Jesus of today. He wants us to know that we can call upon him and be saved today. He wants us to know the Christ of today, that the power is present today to heal us, to deliver us. So that's why I tell testimonies a lot, because really the Gospels is a bunch of testimonies. Amen. The book of Acts is a bunch of testimonies. Amen. And I decided that, you know what? I believe that Jesus is the same. So I'm going to see testimonies and I'm going to hear testimonies and I'm going to write down testimonies. Amen. That meeting that I had on that Wednesday night, the pastor had called that meeting on a Sunday, and I didn't. And so usually when I want to do something or think the Lord wants to do something in the healing arena, I realize I am not the healer. Amen. I'm just a vessel. Amen. So I'm always really looking to God and making sure, Lord, what do you want to do? Well, that wasn't what happened. The pastor just stood up and said on Wednesday night, Pastor Joni's going to have a healing service. That was a little bothersome to me. Because I can't heal anybody. But, I knew he was the pastor. And I know my job as a traveling preacher is to get under the pastor, not to come in with my own will and my own agenda. Amen. And so I just said, I'm going to submit to the pastor here and put my faith in the fact that he heard from God. But do you know what I did Wednesday to prepare for that? I mean, still today, it's one of the most powerful meetings I've ever been in. I can honestly say, if anybody walked out of there not well or didn't get what they asked for, I've not heard of it. The testimonies just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. I had one lady, when I called up people, I had a word of knowledge about people having back problems, particularly disc problems. And I remember seven people came up in the line. And when I went around, so, you know, there were people sitting on the front row and I had this line and I went around. And as I was looking to the Lord to minister to this first lady is when the angel of the Lord showed up. And so I had put my hand on this lady's back, and then I felt the angel's hand go over the top of my hand, and so I took my hand away, because the angel certainly doesn't need my help, except my faith. And so I stood there while the angel ministered to her. She fell down on the floor. I think her story was that she had three herniated discs in her back. She got up totally well. But as she was down on the floor, there was a lady sitting right here, and she began to make this noise. And so I'm all about that. I'm not about you sitting refined in your seat. I'm glad that Lori jumped up and ran this morning to give her money. Really, the truth of God, the faith of God should excite us, should move us at times towards something. But she began to make this noise, and so I turned around and I looked at her, and I said, and I just knew, you know, something with God. Now, I hadn't ministered to her, I hadn't looked at nothing, had done nothing. And so my translator got the story, and she was there, sitting on the front row. She was completely blind in one eye. She already had scheduled surgery. She was blind because she had a cataract so bad. They had wanted to do surgery, but they told her they weren't sure the surgery was going to work. But at this point, she had been so desperate that she was scheduled for surgery the following week. But she sat there with one blind eye. Thank God she was at the meeting. And as the angel of the Lord was ministering and the power of God, she said that her eye began to itch. And so she took her hand and just rubbed her eye like this. And when she rubbed her eye completely opened up. Every cataract left. She never had surgery. Amen. The love of God. Amen. Just reaching out. The love of God searching you out. So this is why I record testimonies. This is why I tell people all the time is you ought to have testimonies. You're certainly your own testimony. You need some of your own testimonies. Every time, certainly the first time when you were saved, whatever happened to you, whatever you sensed, felt, recognized in the moment, you should have that written down so you can go back and relive that. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, now, the first time God answered a prayer for you, the first time that you heard the voice of God, you should have all these things written down and anything that's significant after that. Because what I did to prepare for that Wednesday night meeting was I sat and read testimonies. I read testimony after testimony after testimony because, number one, testimonies are a shout out to who God is. Come on, when you start forgetting the brightness of God, when you start forgetting the greatness of God, when your problems seem to get really big, you need to pull out some testimonies. Amen. And if it's not your own testimony, somebody else's testimonies. Amen. If you don't have some testimonies, call me and I will give you some testimonies on paper. And I was just reading the testimony and I was thinking, wow, God, I'm astonished, God. Look at this, you make me marvel, God. I'm just in awe and in wonder. Wow, look at God, look at what he's done from a small thing to a big thing. I got so stirred up and so fired up, I felt like I was a bull sitting in the gate. I'm like, when's the meeting? When's the meeting? Because Jesus is the same. If he did it in past meetings, if he did it for past people, he'll do it for you and you and you and you and you and you. Testimonies. He'll do it again. So I just felt like today you needed some reminders of who God is. Let's testify. Testify, Joseph. He's testifying by running. You don't ever have to have my permission to laugh, to run, to shout, to fall out, to dance. You don't ever have to have my permission. Oh. Jesus will be for you even in the small things. I was on an airplane one time and we had been about 45 minutes into the air and I had noticed that the girl next to me was really sick. I didn't know what was wrong with her at first. I had a feeling she might be pregnant, but she didn't look pregnant. And you know, you don't ever want to assume that. But she had sat there with a very uncomfortable look. She was fidgeting. She had the vomit bag. You know, a couple times she would gag. I mean, it was just really uncomfortable for her. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, you know, do you want, I didn't know her. You know, she wasn't asking for help. So all of a sudden I leaned over to her and I said, if you like me, I said, what's wrong with you? That probably wasn't the best way to start, but I was ready to get to it. And she said, I'm pregnant and I've been having a lot of trouble with nausea and stuff. And she said, once it gets started, I can't make it stop and it's just miserable. And I looked at her and I said, I can pray for you and make the nausea leave. I said, I can use the name of Jesus and make the nausea leave. Do you believe that? And she said, I'd like to. And I said, well, I want you to do this. You just close your eyes and put your head right here. She's still holding tight to her vomit bag, you know. And I just leaned over and put my hand on her. This is just nausea. I mean, isn't it right, ladies? Come on. Sometimes a lot of ladies deal with called morning sickness, even though it's not always in the morning. Just, I was on the airplane, so it wasn't in the morning, guaranteed you. Something we would think was very common. If I'm going to be pregnant, it's okay that I have morning sickness. And so I just put my hand on her and I just began to use the name of Jesus. And I'm not kidding you, in about 2 minutes, I looked over, she was completely asleep. She slept for about 45 minutes and then she woke up. And when she woke up, she had a smile on her face. She leaned over, put her vomit bag up, looked over at me and said, I feel so much better. And she was well the rest of the trip. Because Jesus is the same. He's the same in the small ailments. He'll be the same in the big things. I dealt with a lady one time that had I was standing in a line and I don't remember all of what was going on, but all of a sudden, as I stepped in front of her, the Lord revealed to me that she had a heart problem. Well, I didn't know that she had just gotten out of the hospital like the day before. And so as I was ministering to her, the Lord told me what was wrong with her heart, that she had an irregular heartbeat, and he just began to share some things with me. And so I just ministered to her, not thinking it was really, to me, a heart condition is no different than a headache. because Jesus is the same. It's not little Jesus for the little ailments and big G. We need big Jesus. Oh, can we get big Jesus on the scene for the man? Can we get big Jesus? It's the same Jesus, same spirit, same power, same work. Question is, can you believe? Can you stop qualifying sicknesses according to what you categories and degrees? It's just either of God or not God, and sickness is never of God. So it's all under the feet of Jesus. It's all under the name of Jesus. But I just ministered to her. One of the story was she'd been in the hospital for several days. They had told her that she had the defibrillation of her heart, and her heart was irregular. And they said, there's no way to fix it except to shock your heart. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it was like a big deal for her. She was an elderly lady, and so they were concerned that the irregularity of it was going to cause it to maybe stop or do something. And so they'd given her a bunch of medication, and she was unsure about the surgery. So she said, well, let me go home and think about it. Well, praise God, she decided to come to church the next day. Even though she didn't feel well, even though she'd just gotten out of the hospital, come on, the love of God reaching out and searching out for her, providing her what was needed, sending me across town to minister. And so I ministered to her. Well, she didn't feel a thing. I mean, she didn't, you know, sometimes you sense the power, sometimes you don't. It's not about a feeling. It's about the truth of God's word. It'll work every time. And so the next week, she just decided, well, she better go ahead, and she was going to go ahead and try the surgery. And so she went back to the doctor, and they always retest. And the doctor came out with a report and said, I don't know what's happened to you, but your heart is like completely normal. You have no more. I found this out because a year later I went to minister there, and they brought her up to me, and they said, do you remember her? And I said, no. That's God's job, to remember everybody, not mine. I'm just trying to stay in the flow in the moment. But that was her story, is that the doctor said, you did something. You can tell on the report your heart is different. What did you do? And then she remembered, and she gave glory to God. She'd been now a year later, not one single heart problem, no medication. Come on. He's not just in the minor things. He's in the major things too. I dealt with a lady one time that was 60 years old that had had scoliosis for 51 years, that in 1 minute of a moment, she had a leg that was shorter, her leg grew out, all of her back pain left, and a year later, she was still pain-free and still walking straight. I had a lady that was healed of lupus. I knew a lady that brought her daughter up to tell me that when I had been there the year before, her daughter had gotten healed of a kidney disease. Come on, Jesus is the same. Yes. And he heals the young and the old. Stop disqualifying yourself. Amen. I was at a meeting one time where they brought a 3-year-old up, and they said that her eyesight was really bad in one eye. The doctor told them that it was getting worse and worse, and she would probably be blind in a very short time. And they had the readings from what the eye level was and everything. And I just ministered to her in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the same. Christ is the same. And when they took her back to the doctor, she had perfect eyesight. 3 years old. I had a man come up one time that was 70-something, and he had had arthritis so bad that it was just difficult for him. He was always in pain. Just ministered to him in the name of Jesus, and he got well. He was dancing, shouting, running. Amen. I know that years later, this man happened to be a friend of my father's, and I know that years later, I think when he was 75, he was still pain-free. Come on, you're never too old. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're never too young. You know, all these stories have different elements in them. If you don't have any healing testimonies to encourage you, you should be writing some of these down today. I live off of stories I heard from Smith Wigglesworth or John G. Lake, or I have stories that I heard from various people. I write them down and I read them. I don't have to know the person. I don't have to see it. I didn't see the people in the Bible, but I believe what was written. And it's still life to me today. It still ministers to me today. It encourages me today.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 I remember one time I was in a meeting and a young girl came up and she was like in her early 20s. I mean, I think she was somewhere like 21, 22 years old. And she had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Do y'all know what that is? The two major components of symptoms of fibromyalgia are, number one, you have an extreme fatigue. It's like you are so like tired. It's like you can barely force yourself to get out of bed or move. It's just like excruciatingly painful. And then you have pretty much consistent, constant pain. I mean, constant pain, it never goes away. And she had actually been diagnosed by the doctor. And she came up, you know, she's 22. You're thinking, 21, 22, how would someone this age, who know? Well, I do know, actually, because the Lord revealed to me when I got in front of her that she had had a trauma in her life. The Lord revealed to me, actually, that she had had a rape incident. And in that moment, she had allowed something to come in, and that was the root of it. Now, I didn't expose that, of course, to all the people there, but I knew it was a spirit. And I ministered to her, and as I was ministering to her, I could sense that the power was going in, but it was like more important than the power going in, it was like the restoration of her soul. And I could sense her soul was healing up, but it wasn't like all in a moment. It was like progressive. And so the Lord gave me an instruction to give to her. And the instruction was, I want you to say that the power of God has been administered to my body and is effecting a cure. The power of God has been administered to my body and is effecting a cure. I said, I want you to say that for 3 days. I don't want you to do anything else for 3 days. Don't let any thought come. Don't monitor what's going on. Just say it, say it, say it. Well, she said, okay. After the meeting, she came to tell me that that was a Sunday, that Monday she was supposed to have a doctor's appointment. And she said, what do I do about that? Because if I go to the doctor's going to want me to. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you what to do about that, but I'm going to tell you what God said. So she canceled her appointment, didn't go on Monday. She was leaving on Tuesday to go for a trip to Europe for 5 days. And she actually called me from Europe because I told her at the end of the third day, if you obey the instruction of the Lord, you will be well. Well, guess what happened by the end of the third day? Jesus had healed her soul. All her pain had left. That was probably 8 years ago. I still know her. She's still disease free today. Jesus is the same. The one who went about doing good and healing all. And I just wanted to encourage you today that there's nothing too minor and there's nothing too major. These are all stories really in the healing area. I could tell stories of all kinds, people getting free. I remember one meeting I had a word of God about people getting free of smoking. And a guy came back, you know, later. He had been smoke free since that one service for a year and 5 months now. He'd been free. People having anxiety leave them. People that dealt with anxiety attacks, even on medications, instantly getting free. People dealing with bipolar stuff and ADD stuff. Is Megan here today? Is Megan here today anywhere? She's outside. Well, you know, Meg is a great example. She came to the church here. She'd been on medications. She'd been diagnosed as ADD and bipolar since she was a child. She had had all kind of mental issues, all kind of episodes. I mean, recorded. I mean, it was not good, but thank God, she got a hold of God. God saved her soul. She recognized it wasn't just good enough to meet God, but she was going to walk with the Lord. And so she got active. And when she got to Houston Faith Church, she started really thinking, you know what? Jesus really can heal me of my ADD, and he really can heal me of bipolar. And she just began to make a decision. She said, I made a decision. And so she was going after God. She was confessing scripture. And about and then the time came, she said, I went up one Sunday and had Pastor Chaz pray for me. She had set her face. She had built her faith that in that moment. And she said that very next day she stopped taking all of her medications. She had been on medication for 17 years. 3 months later, she's good. No episodes. No. She goes to the doctor. Her stuff would actually show up in blood tests. And her blood test was normal that first time. For the first time, it was normal without any medication. I'm telling them about you getting free of ADD and bipolar. And listen, that was in August of 2015 that she had been on medication for 17 years. But Jesus the same today healed her, delivered her. She's pain-free, medicine-free, no incidents, no craziness. Glory to God. Thank you. If he did it for her, he can do it for you. Hallelujah. 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 I had a word of knowledge one time about in church here that some people were dealing with something, the devil trying to tell them that they had cancer. And I said, now this is not for people if you've been to the doctor and have a report. This is that the devil has been messing with you about having cancer. And so we had somebody come up and she had this thing on her face. It was a little growth on her face. And she hadn't been to the doctor. She didn't know what it was, but the devil kept telling her, you know, it was getting bigger. It was irritable. And the devil was telling her, it's cancer, it's cancer, it's cancer. So she knew when that word came, she came forward. So you know what? Hey, Jesus the same. So we just prayed for her, ministered to her. She walked away. Guess what happened? She woke up the next morning, and as she woke up and looked in the mirror, it fell off. This has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus is the same. And the love of God is ever for you, reaching out to you, always trying to get you to the right thing at the right moment. God is not withholding. He's not withholding his love. He's not withholding his power. He's not withholding his goodness. He's not withholding healing. Iris sitting over there, when she came to the church, she had two children, but she wanted another. But the doctors had told her she couldn't have children because she had cysts on her ovaries. But you know what? She got a hold of the word of God. She came up front one day. She said, I said, are you ready? And she said, ready for what? And boom, the power hit her. She went down on the floor. Next thing you know, she's pregnant. Praise God. She goes back to the doctor. The doctors tell her ovaries are clear. Not that just she had got pregnant, but that her ovaries are clear now. And now she's had two children, two babies. Are y'all finished? Are y'all finished? Hey, Sus, are y'all finished? Hey, yeah, he's like, yo, we're finished. She's like, we're finished. Four is enough. I tell you these things because sometimes people hear me tell the stories and they think, oh, those things only happen overseas. No, the same things that happen in Peru, the same things that happen in South Africa, the same things that happen in Thailand, the same things are happening here in Houston at Houston Faith Church. Because it's the same Jesus. He's not going to be just Jesus the healer overseas, but he is looking for something. I mean, I've been in meetings overseas where I start talking about stuff like that, and people just start getting up and they're coming out of their chair and they're standing in front of me. I need this. Okay. Why? Because they really want it and because they believe God's going to do it. Now, I'm not saying you have to jump up and run down here, but you do need to do whatever the Lord says to do, whenever the Lord says to do it.
Amen.
I remember Tanisha had a story one time. She had had something where her ear, she wasn't hearing. She didn't really know why. I hadn't been to the doctor, but her ear. And she said, Pastor was preaching and he was saying something. And all of a sudden she just thought about that. And she's like, she began claiming it and saying it. He didn't lay hands for her. He didn't point her out specifically. And she said, I didn't feel anything. My ear didn't feel any different. But she went home. And later she was talking on the phone. out of that ear that she couldn't hear out of previously. Got all her hearing back in that one ear. Praise God. Come on. Come on. God said this year He was going to do things that would cause us to marvel. He said this year He'd do things that would cause us to just be in amazement and wonder of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is the same. He's doing good today, right here today. He's the same today. He's the same today. We believe it, Lord. Today. We believe it, Lord. Today. You're doing good right now. Today. You're touching lives right now. Today. You're working on our behalf right now. Here. Today. You're restoring people. I remember a lady one time came up to me and she had gotten out of a bad relationship. And she said, as much as I know it's bad, I keep thinking about him and it's just like, oh, and I want to be rid of it. She said, will you just please pray for me? Well, when she said that to me, you know, I had to have something scriptural. And I was reminded that the Lord said He'd restore our soul. Some people get soul ties that need to be broken off in the power of God. You don't need to be tormented by past stuff and people and situations. You can be free of all that. And so I said to her, I said, well, I'm going to put my hand on you and God is going to restore your soul. Well, she came back a month later to testify, and this was her testimony. She said she woke up the next morning and she didn't care a lick about him. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, we got to get toxic people out. But then she told another part of the story. She said that she'd been on medication for arthritis for 40 years. And after about a week, after I had prayed for her still taking her arthritis medicine, she took it every day. She said her body started like feeling funny. And she said, I'm thinking like, what's causing my body to feel funny? And she felt like the Lord told her that it was her arthritis medicine. So she quit taking her arthritis medicine. And now she had been 3 weeks without a single medication, totally free of arthritis. God had healed her arthritis when her soul got restored. I've seen that happen so many times. I'm dealing with somebody about fear. They go down under the power of the Lord. They come up and then they're like, hey, my back just got well. That wasn't what they were up there for, but it's a byproduct. Hallelujah. The love of God searching you out. Knowing just the thing you need, the way you need it. Just want it. Just believe it. Just receive it. Don't disqualify yourself in any way. Don't limit God in any way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe some people might have been helped today.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.